most important thing, and I tell my church this every day, and I want everyone here to hear this. Learn to show up. If you learn to just show up,
all right,
and be available for a blessing, you will receive a blessing. Amen. I want to introduce our evangelist for the weekend, and I'm excited to hear from him. I've listened to him preach several messages on his on their website. Awesome man of God. Young man. And I was reading over his bio, and he met the Lord when he was just 8 years old. And he said he said himself that it hasn't been easy, but he's been growing in knowledge and power ever since then. He ventured into Bible college in 2000 and down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and attended the World Evangelism Bible College and Seminary, where he received a bachelor's degree of divinity and an associate's degree in theology. And after graduating, he was asked to minister at a church there in Baton Rouge called Living Waters. And he and a few of his colleagues worked very hard to increase the ministry, not just in numbers. And this is his writing. I'm not saying this for him. This is what he said. He said he wasn't interested in the numbers, but the saving of lives. That's what's important, and I'm moved by that. He went from a small handful of people in a congregation of believers and were able to open up 2 Goodwill stores and a substance abuse clinic. But the rock still was there. Because he says right here that many trials came, but the Lord had his way. Large influx of people coming from every walk of life. He looked at that as an opportunity to minister. And then he ministered quite a bit at a correctional facility, Jetson Correctional Facility, for teenagers, and found out that there was youth 8 years old that was locked up. He was getting saved at 8. And he went and preached to kids that was locked up at 8. Isn't that something, how the Lord would bring that thing full circle? But he said, and this is the part that really touches my heart. He said at the end of 2006, he felt the Lord moving him in another direction. Be ready to move when God says move, because you might miss something. And he said that early in 2007, the Lord led him to move back to Ohio to help his father out with his ministry. And today, he's the presiding pastor of Setting Free Church, where his father, Pastor Wallace, is the overseer. Father and son. Doing ministry together. That's what it's all about. Passing on that legacy, that faith. And he talked about where he used to be. His son don't sound like he ever seen that. Isn't that the blessing in the whole thing? We don't have to pass on those old genes. Christians don't have to go where I've been. I can tell him about it if I want to. He don't have to go there. Amen. So we're going to hear from God and the pastor of the Setting Free Church from Urban Crest, Ohio. And I'm sure that the Lord has given him a word just for us. We've talked on several occasions. And I want to introduce to some and present to the other Reverend Adam Wallace in his own way.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good, isn't he? God is good. I want to thank Brother Martin for the opportunity to come out here and minister to this church for the next few days. As we know, we live in a world where things are constantly changing. And, you know, there was a time when change was good. But in the world that we live in now, change is not for the better. We see our politicians and our leaders trying to deal with the economic situations of our country, and they're running around like a chicken with their head chopped off. They don't know just what to do. And it's a crucial time for the church. There are families and marriages and people and the church as a whole just falling apart. And it's a blessing to know Jesus, because we know who has the answer. Amen. We know who has the answer. But sadly, sometimes the church does just like the world, looks to every other means but to the one who can take care of the problem. And while we look around to take care of what only God can take care of, we find that the enemy comes in. He changes people's hearts and tries to lead them away from the things of God. But I've got good news this evening.
All right.
God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. Amen?
Amen.
We are in Assyria. Not Assyrians.
All right.
We are in Assyria situation. Remember in 2 Kings when the servant of Elijah woke up and went about and saw the entire army of Syria all around him. He began to tremble. He was afraid. Because what he was looking at was in the natural. He said, "Alas, master, what shall we do?" is what he said. And Elijah said to him, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. We must receive, amen, our guidance from the Lord. He alone can make a way out of no way. Alas, Jesus, what shall we do? When you take your problems, when you take what you're going through, and you put it in the hands of Jesus, where one person might be fearful, you can have peace, amen. We must believe in the man of God, amen. Elijah knew his Lord a little bit better than a servant. Elders, teach the younger, amen. There's a reason that the Lord has allowed chaos to prevail in these times. The Lord will allow man to show himself that he is incapable of helping himself. It is when we see our weakness and our failure and we can see our need for the Lord. This evening I'll be ministering on a simple subject. Get hungry for the right things. Get hungry for the right things. Get hungry for the right things. If we can focus on what God has called us to do, hear that? If we can focus on what God has called us to do, we will find God doing what he said he would. We waste too much time focusing on everything else but the Lord. We can come up with 1,000 reasons and excuses for not doing what we are to do. But this evening, let us hear the words of our Christ. If you would, turn with me to John chapter 4. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you once more, Father God. Lord, I ask that you open up your word this evening that we might see, Father God, what you would have us to see, Father God, that you might put a fire underneath our and into our hearts, Father God, that we might not be happy just being the way that we are, Father God, but propel us, Father God, to your glory and to your grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. In John chapter 4, we find something that I find very important. We find Jesus going through Samaria. We find Jesus, the word of God reads in verse 4, "For he needs must go through Samaria." Meaning that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. We find Jesus purposing himself to not go through the land of the Jews, but to what they would call dogs because they were mixed breed. And we find Jesus doing what a normal Jew wouldn't do. He was talking to a woman that the Jews would consider unclean. And his disciples, while they're gone, they come back and they see him, and they're shocked that he's even talking to this Gentile woman. Let me tell you, Jesus will talk to who he has that are ready to hear. It doesn't matter if they're not upper class or lower class. It doesn't matter if they have a PhD or any type of great merit to their name. Jesus will go to those who are willing to hear. And we find this Samaritan meeting Jesus at Jacob's well, and they begin to talk, and before you know it, he reveals to her that he's the Son of God. While the disciples are out doing other things, Jesus was busy doing the work of the Father. Jesus was busy doing the work of the Father. Let us read our text this evening. John chapter 4 and verse 31. Get hungry for the right things. John chapter 4 and verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap whereon you bestow no labor. Other men labor, and you are entered into their labors. Amen. We find in this passage of Scripture that Jesus was not hungry for the natural things.
All right.
Jesus was not hungry for the natural things. You know, the biggest hindrance to the work of God being fulfilled is us. Because we want physical things to give us physical pleasure. We can't pay our tithes because we've got HBO, Showtime, and Cinemax. We can't make it out to church because our lazy boy is just a little bit too comfortable. We put treasures that we don't need. Jesus could care less. Foxes have holes, but I have no place to lay my head. Jesus is teaching his disciples a very valid point. Don't be hungry for the natural things, but be hungry for thus saith the Lord. Our priorities are often not straight. We are busy with our lives, and when we're in a world that needs Jesus. You see, Jesus, when he came, there was an abundance of people that weren't saved. There were so many people that need to be saved that initially when Jesus sent out the 12, he got 70 more to go and help because there were people that were hungry. Pray that the Lord of the harvest sends forth laborers. There were hungry people. And he had to cover some more ground because he has a hunger. And he has a, how do you put it? He's got a meal that when you've tasted it, you'll hunger and thirst no more. But while the church, the disciples, sometimes we're not looking to see exactly what Jesus is doing. And while they were out getting some steak and potatoes, Jesus was saving an entire city.
All right.
He was busy saving an entire city. Seeing people drawn to God is what the church is here for. Do you realize that? Seeing people brought to Christ, being conformed into the image of Christ, is the entire reason why we are here. Amen. We're to be a city set upon a hill. Amen.
Amen.
That people might see us and glorify God. That is the purpose of the church. Thankfully, Jesus isn't led by the church, but he leads the church. Imagine if Jesus was led by the church these days. There'd be 12-step programs. There'd be Narcotics Anonymous. There would be unnecessary books being written. How to have sanctification in 5 days. Imagine if Jesus was led by the church. What a mess that would be. We have to get hungry for the right things. The disciples, when they came back, they said, what are you talking about? Has someone given you some food that we don't know? Has somebody given you some food that we don't know about? Has someone given him a little snack on the side? What satisfies Jesus is someone being saved. If we know that's what the Lord has a taste for, don't bring him a Cain offering. Bring him those that can be covered by the blood. Bring him those that can be covered by the blood. You see, too many times as Christians, we get busy doing everything but thus saith the Lord. And we always have a good reason. But let me tell you something. Spiritual hunger cannot be satisfied by a natural need.
Amen.
There is a world that is in a spiritually dead condition. And the very few things that we don't find these days is the gospel being preached. will turn people over to a psychologist. I got problems with my family.
Come on.
It ain't a fleshly problem. There are powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places that are causing that family problem. You see, all the world can do is put a band-aid on what Jesus can cure. So as the church, we need to let people know that any other method other than Christ has been crucified is a waste of time. I don't care what book you pick up. I don't care what the title says. All you need to know is Jesus came, Jesus died, he rose again, and if you've got a problem, it's not greater than dead and buried. It's not greater than dead and buried. Stop wasting your time on snacks and getting to the word, because the bottom line is when you get a good meal, it'll satisfy you. When you get a good meal, it'll satisfy you. But for some reason, just think for a second. God made Adam and Eve, and he gave them this beautiful garden. And he said, every tree I've given you eat of, except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And had they eaten of the tree of life, had they eaten of the tree of life before they went and did what they did, they would have lived forever. But that tells me something about the description of Christ. That tree might not have been as beautiful. It might not have been as glamorous. It might not have even been, you know, they said Jesus was despised of men. He didn't have a handsome face, per se. He didn't lure people in by his charm or his charisma. But it tells me this, that Adam and Eve were eating of a lot of different things when all they had to do was partake of the tree of life. And the church does the same. We get nourishment and this fake nourishment from all sorts of sources.
All right.
And it's just like someone that's bound to drugs. You have to keep going back for more and more because it will not satisfy what only Jesus can satisfy. It will not do it. So when you have a friend or you have a family member or you have someone that's going through something, don't give them your good advice. Give them the word.
That's right.
Give them the word.
Right.
Don't give them a little band-aid, old sister, brother. Put it in the blood, amen.
Yes.
Amen. The disciples came and said, has someone given him something to eat? The conditions that we face are always spiritual. We must get our priorities right. Church, are you hungry?
Yes.
Church, are you faint? Get hungry for the right things.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, when he came, he didn't have his favorite five. He was a root out of dry ground. When he needed some advice, when he needed someone to turn to, he didn't turn to Peter, James, and John. He said, Father in heaven, I know you always hear me.
That's right.
And that's where we need to get our priorities going back to, is when you have a situation, give it to the Lord.
Amen.
Don't give it to your neighbor. I tell you, if you give people an opportunity for counseling, they got problems. We all have problems.
Amen.
Ask somebody if they got an issue in their life. They'll be more than happy to tell you, oh, I lost my job. Everything's going bad, brother. Please pray for me. Give them to Jesus.
Amen.
Stop trying to be a middleman when we have access to the man.
All right.
Stop trying to do what only God can do. You're wasting your time. Don't let them come to you for a refuge. Say, I'm an ambassador, and he's the one that can help you. I can't do it, but my son, my Savior can. I can't do it, but Jesus can. We have to stop trying to do what God has not told us to do and just do what he's told us to do. We have to get hungry for the right things. Jesus was a root out of dry ground. He had no strength in this world. How do you think he was able to go 40 days and 40 nights? He came as a man denying godly power. He was eating on some word. Man shall not live by bread alone, of every word that proceedeth out of my Father's mouth. Get hungry for the right things. And verse 32, he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of.
Mm-hmm. All right. Come on.
When the devil comes trying to get you to do his stuff.
Yeah.
Just say, devil, I have meat that you know not of. What I had a taste for in the world, Jesus Christ has delivered me from it. What I had a hunkering to do, I've got a new taste bud. Amen. I'm busy doing what God has me to do. And therefore his disciples said one another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Don't you know that Jesus said, "As I have been given a commandment, so I give unto you, that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, strength, and spirit, and that you love your neighbor as yourself." Don't we know that just as Christ received commandment, that he sent his church with a commandment to go ye therefore, and not give people just something that they can munch on, but to give them the gospel. Christ equivalates meat to labor. We don't like to read the scripture. I got a sister. She's always coming over to my house hungry. And I'm telling you, get a job. Get a better job. I'm trying to for my family. And every day she'll be around. I pick on her a little bit. But isn't it funny how the church wants all the blessings that God has to give?
That's right.
All right. Bless me, Father. God, give me a new house, Lord. Lord, I need a new car. This one is getting a little rusty, Father God. And we want everything from the Lord. But if the Lord puts in his word, if you don't work, you don't eat.
All right.
If you don't work, you don't eat. Spiritual blessings are just that. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I read about a man named Job. And Job had a job. He was faithful to the Lord. He gave the Lord exactly what he wanted. There was none like him in the earth. We need to do the work that God has called us to do.
Amen.
We need to do the work that God has called us to do. Because a workman is worthy of his hire. Amen. Job had a job. Jesus came to work. And his satisfaction was to finish his Father's work. We know that no other foundation can be laid other than that which Christ has laid. He has called us to build upon that which he has already put into place. We are to establish, as Paul would say, the law of God. We are to be the example. Amen. Work comes before the harvest. Work comes before harvest.
Right.
Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. It's not going to happen without the work. Sometimes we look and we say, "Field, please plant yourself. Grass, no, no, it's better. Lord, please don't let it rain so I don't have to cut the grass." Sometimes we ask God to do things that are not necessary. He says in his word that he has sent us to reap. He has sent us to reap. That means the work is already done. That means the seeds have already been planted. That means the sun has done its work and risen up the corn or whatever it might be. And he's just saying, go into the harvest and reap.
Come on now.
Go into the harvest and reap. Say not there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. As I said, we like to wait to do the Lord's work. But if we fail to do what God has commanded us to do, loved ones, family members, co-workers, your next door neighbor, that person you just thought was so nice and would never hurt a fly, will die lost. That's how serious it is. If people don't hear the gospel, they will die lost. And they're willing to hear. Jesus spoke with one Samaritan woman. Let me tell you how God's plan is so perfect. How many of you have seen a dandelion grow up? A dandelion grow, turn yellow, and then turn white? Have you all seen that in your life? What happens when you go and reap that particular dandelion and the wind blows? Don't you know when one person is plucked out of hell, they start telling everybody? When one person is plucked out, the Holy Ghost will send them about saying, tell somebody else. Oh, you man that was in the tomb, go tell your neighbors what the Lord has done. You see, it renews itself. When someone gets saved, they start telling everybody about Jesus.
Yes.
It's a natural process. He says, preach. He's going to send the Holy Ghost to send them all out. All we got to do is reach, and the church will grow. Tell your best friend. Tell that person you were just too nervous to tell about. Tell them about the goodness of God. You don't have to lie. Tell them what you know.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to make up a story about Jesus.
All right.
Tell them what you know.
Yeah.
I have never seen an engaged woman be quiet. Oh, baby, he got down on his knees. Well, guess what I got was better. He got up on the cross. He got up on the cross. He did not cry me of power. He didn't cry me of decay. He said, your blood was a price. Now nobody ought to claim you. I have never seen a woman be quiet about some good news.
All right.
Oh, he called me 2 carats. You're calling up friends you ain't talked to in years. In years, you might not even know what the name is, but you have a memory. And you just want to tell them about the good news.
Yeah.
Has God done you so wrong that you forgot to open up your mouth and let the redeemed of the Lord say so? Yeah. It's time to wake up. It's time to get busy doing what God has called us to do. It's time to go out to the harvest. There are people just like the Samaritan woman. They're just going about their life not knowing there's a better way. Not knowing there's a better way. Why do you think Islam has grown in ridiculous numbers?
All right.
Why do you think that the Mormon church has grown in such ridiculous numbers?
All right.
They got the wrong gospel. But there are people that are hungry for just about anything.
Yeah. That's right.
And if we don't give them the true meat, we allow them to be deceived.
Amen.
Ever notice how quickly we move to do pointless things? You can be sitting in your house on a Saturday, have a plan just to chill. Ring, ring, you want to go to the mall? Oh, yeah! I want to go. Let me go, I'll be right there. Ring, ring, want to go bowling? Yeah, I'll go. Pastor call you up. Want to come out to prayer meeting tonight? I got the kids tonight. Pastor, let me get back with you next week. Pastor call you up on the phone, say the grass needs cut of the church. Oh, Pastor, Pastor, call Sister So-and-so. We must get hungry for the right thing. If there was ever a time to fast from this world, it is now. There is nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, that the world can give you that compares to the gift of God. He has given us every reason to be faithful. You realize that even when you were a sinner, God was faithful to you? There's not a person in this world that can testify of God not being faithful. While we were yet sinners, amen? God comes. Because he allows such things to happen that we turn to him.
Yeah.
We have to come to the point where we realize there's nothing we can do but believe.
Yeah.
Jesus said, say not there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look to the fields, for they are white already to harvest. There's no time to wait. We need to realize that Jesus was telling his disciples that you're blind. Do you realize that? That for after Jesus had died and was buried and was risen, his disciples still didn't quite get it about the Samaritan woman. They were just offering the gospel to the Jews only. They were just telling their own kind about the Lord. They were just telling the Jews, oh, you killed the Messiah. All the while, there were people lost and dying because there's neither bond nor free, nor male nor female. But when you come to the blood,
that's right, yeah.
When you come to the blood, Whatever you were has been made new. He was telling his disciples that your eyes are closed because they were busy about doing everything else. Jesus knew that he had a short time on this earth. And he was going to take every opportunity that he had to finish the work. There's one thing that's true about every person. You have some of it. He has some of it. I have some of it. It's time. We don't know how much we have. Are you going to harvest the fields that God sends you to? Or are you just going to assume that they're saved? Assume that they know Christ. Assume that they've got new life and have life more abundantly. You see, we prejudge if a person is not, for some reason, if a person's not homeless, we don't think they need Christ. If a person's not bound to drugs and alcohol, we don't think they need Christ. That person's bound to a more addictive drug. It's called self-righteousness. And unless the gospel comes to that person to penetrate that person's heart, they'll be no different than the Pharisee that said, "Oh, I'm so glad I'm not like these people. I'm so glad I'm not like these people." The cross will kill that self-righteousness. You ask a person, "Do you think you're good?" Oh, no one will say they're bad. Unless you're into the atheist, they might say, "I'm a devil." But most people think they're good. Who put that line to their heart? The Bible says that all my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's none good, no, not one, save God. Don't prejudge somebody.
Amen.
Jesus is saying, you think that there's going to be more to come than this. His disciples were obviously waiting for some great thing to happen. They were waiting for some other thing to happen. When Jesus said, "This is what I'm here for, to tell people about the good news, to repent ye and to turn around and to embrace the God that you turned your back on. This is all I'm going to do. I'm going to tell people about Jesus. You see me talking to a Samaritan today, tomorrow I'm going to the publican. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear."
All right.
So many times we get stuck in our little circles. Brother so-and-so, that circle needs to get bigger. All you need to do is go where God tells you to go.
Amen.
And do what he's telling you to do.
Amen.
And just like the dandelion, the seeds will be planted and there'll be an explosion. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
While they were going out, doing what they like to do, getting that good old Popeyes and them baby backs, Jesus was saving an entire city. One man says about his church that 12 of them turned the whole world upside down. How many believers we have in this church? Don't like your neighborhood? Preach Jesus. Don't like the quality of life? Preach Jesus. Tired of your car getting broken into? Preach Jesus. You got a problem on your job? Preach Jesus. You got a problem in your church? Preach Jesus to yourself. Sometimes I'll be witness to somebody and I'll be a witness to myself. Like, man, I need that for myself. That's on this person. I need that for myself. That's the way it got to be. When you think you're telling somebody, God is showing you about you.
Amen.
Get hungry for the right things. What do you have a hunger for this evening? Some of you, I can't wait till I'm done because you got a hunger. I know my dad in the back of his mind, he can't wait to go get some sister's chicken. I know it. I see it. He's like, "Man, come on, preacher. That's the sign. Rub in the belly." Get hungry for the right things. Now, I'm preaching to myself. Lord knows what I'm going to do when I get out of here. We have to get hungry, amen,
amen,
for the right things. Don't assume we know anything. See, we don't have to assume anything as Christians. God, is it true or is it false? Is it yay or is it nay? Does this person need the gospel or do they not? Because the sheep know sheep. Don't you know sheep know sheep?
Amen.
If you hear it, there's something wrong. You need to tell the gospel. Jesus says, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look. Stop looking around. Stop doing the Elijah sermon and just looking at your situation, never thinking that God can do anything about it. No, that's You can't change yourself, amen. Don't look at what you think you can do. Don't you know the devil's lied to some of you? Well, I'll witness when I get right. You know the devil said that to some of you. I'll share the gospel when I'm not sinning. Or when I'm on fire for God. Or I'll tell the gospel after I've read my Bible 3 days in a row and I feel righteous about it. Don't ever believe that. Because if you're waiting to share that type of gospel, I question the gospel that you have. If you're waiting to get yourself right, there's something wrong with the gospel that you believe. My Bible says he's able to finish. He's able to complete. He's able to do what he said he would do. You see, we have to get back to what the Bible says. He doesn't say, make yourself perfect before you go. Go, because for needs must be, I've got to, and so don't you. The trump of God will sound quicker than we know it. We don't know how much time's left. But I know the signs of the times. There is famine in the land. There are rumors and there are earthquakes in divers places. There are many that proclaim to be the Christ or proclaim to be the way. Don't believe them, Jesus says. For I have told you before. Get hungry for the right thing. See, right now the devil's got some here hungry for what they used to have before they knew Christ. I don't remember my yesterdays, or at least I don't want to. You see, sometimes in our testimony, we will testify of what God brought us out of, but the Bible teaches that we go from glory to glory. We go from glory to glory. I can't remember what I was doing when I was 8 years ago. I can't remember what I was doing when I was eight, but there's only one thing that I need to remember after I've been dead and buried, that all things are made new. All things are made new. Don't get hung up in what God has done for you in the past. Because the harvest that he will have you going to reap will be greater than whatever experience you thought you had with Jesus. Don't settle off old fruit. I know too many Christians that just have stories of what God used to do. Just have stories of God. He brought me out of such darkness. Has he taken you to the third heavens? If so, why not? You see, God doesn't just want to deliver his church from themselves. You realize it's another lie of the devil. The whole purpose of this life is not for you just to stop sinning.
All right.
It's not about you just getting right. Because my Bible says he doesn't get you right. He says there's nothing good in you. Let me go ahead and get rid of you. And in place of you, give you my son. He doesn't try to fix us. He says, the only thing I can do with you is put you in my son. And let this old man be crucified. That's all I can do with you. He doesn't fix a broken heart. He creates a new one. And that new heart has new hunger. And that new mind has a new destiny. On my way here today, I had bought myself a new gadget. Bought me a little GPS thing. It's the coolest little thing. You type in an address, turn right. Turn left. And you know, the world says it's called a global positioning system or a global positioning satellite. I like to call what we have the God provisioning sanctification. You see, because when we are going the wrong way, just like that little device said, turn around. He told me to turn around today. He said, as soon as you get a chance, turn around. I was like, what? This man gave me instruction, turn around. I said, people need to have the Holy Ghost come back on them and let them know when they're going the wrong way. God can lead you out of the desert. He can lead you across the Red Sea. He can lead you up a mountaintop. He don't need no equipment. Just go by faith. He knows exactly where you are. And I was shocked this thing was telling me how fast I was going. It showed me right where I was. And a man's technology has gotten to that point to where you can just plug something in. Oh, you're right here. Where are you right now?
All right.
When it comes to the things of God. When's the last time you opened up your mouth and shared the good news of Jesus? There are people that are dying. There are people that are starving And everybody just keeps giving them a snack. When we have a God who with just about anything, let me correct myself, with anything, he can do amazing. If Jesus didn't have 2 fish and 5 barley loaves, he was enough to feed them. If he didn't have anything to break, he can send manna from heaven. If he can speak the world into existence just by his word, in 7 days, he created the heaven and the earth and everything that's in it. How much more do you think God can do for you if you like the earth, just you? And let his word order the steps of your life. God will give you a right hunger. And he will turn your desire that is not of his around so that you don't even want it. You know, people always say, well, if you got a problem with crack or if you got a problem with alcohol or if you got issues, just try not to do it. Just try not to do it. Don't go to the club. Don't hang around those that have those things. When you are made free, you are made free. When you are made free, you are made free indeed. We don't serve a God that does partial deliverance. He's not a partial type of God. So don't settle for it in your life. Don't settle for Sunday is your good day and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is, oh, I need Jesus on Sunday days. Don't settle for partial. He is giving plenty, amen? If you all would stand with me this evening. The harvest is great, and the laborers are few. And God is able to send this church out. He's able to send the Setting Free Church out. All you have to do is lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and see that there are people that need what you have. Do you realize that the fruit is never for you? Do you realize that what God does in your life is not for you? Amen. The true vine lets the apples fall. So that people can say, look at that good fruit. And be lifted and pointed towards Jesus. The blessings that he gives you, they're not for you alone. But for you to start telling people about the goodness of God. If there are some here this morning that have a taste for something other than what God calls meat, we need to get our taste changed, amen? If there's one here tonight that doesn't know Christ, you've got a hunger that can only be satisfied by him. If there's a believer that's been told by the devil, you can't get back on the right path. His mercies are new every morning. If you need the Lord this morning, just raise your hand. I always say it this morning because it's always morning to Jesus. Because that's when his mercies are new, and I always need mercy. If you need the Lord this evening, you may come. If you need salvation, the altars are open. The best conversation you can have is with the one that can't just talk about your life, but give you new life. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, in this church this evening, Father God, we ask that your Holy Spirit begin to move and that your Holy Spirit just take control of our desires and our wants. Let our needs be according to your will and not according to ours. And let us lay aside every weight, Father God, that hinders us from running this race. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. If you need prayer this evening, salvation, or just to have a new hunger, Jesus is here.
may take your seats.